Chapter 1. The air aboard the Thraken Sal Solo was filled with new vessel smells, the acrid bite of ventilation fans burning off packing grease, the sweetness of escaped actuating gas, the ozone tinge of fresh air exchangers. As Han and Leia Solo passed through hatchway after hatchway, Han still found himself touching the durasteel bulkheads to be sure he wasn't dreaming. The Sal Solo was the flagship of a secret assault fleet that the Corellian government had put into construction nearly 10 standard years before, under the leadership of Han's recently deceased cousin, Thraken Sal Solo. Nobody would say what Sal Solo and his cohorts had been planning for the mysterious armada, and Han didn't care. The fleet was ready to deploy, and large enough to shatter the Alliance blockade. And that was all that mattered. The blockade had been extended to all 5 planets in the Corellian system, choking their economics and threatening their off-world facilities. When the Solos reached the command center, Han did not need to be a Jedi to feel the excitement in the air. The door guards inspected everyone's passes with more than the usual cursory nod, and they even ran a security scan on C-3PO. Inside, the support officers had forsaken the calf dispenser and were actually at their duty carrels, studying data displays and coding orders. The only individuals who did not seem busy were 6 civilian security agents waiting on steel benches outside the tactical planning salon, and even they sat in tense silence. Han leaned close to Leia and asked in a whisper, "Will you be okay with this?" Leia looked up and arched a brow. The lines at the corners of her dark eyes only made her gaze that much more penetrating. And, well, wise.
"Okay with what, Han?"
"Being married to a Corellian admiral." Han smirked and ran his fingers over his chin, clean-shaven now that there was no longer a need to hide his identity from his cousin's assassins. "Look around. Wedge is getting ready to bust the blockade, and he's going to need me to take one of the dreadnoughts." Leia surveyed the busy cabin, allowing her gaze to rest on the security agents outside the planning salon.
"I don't think we need to worry about that, Han."
Han frowned. "You think I'm too old for a line command?"
"Hardly. You're not even 70 yet."
Leia lowered her voice, then added,
"I just have a feeling."
"Oh, dear," C-3PO said. "It's never good when Mistress Leia has a feeling."
They reached the door to the planning salon and had to end the conversation. Instead of admitting them immediately, as he had the previous day, the door guard, a square-jawed petty officer in a blue duty uniform, blocked their way. "The Admiral will be with you as soon as he can, Captain Solo." "As soon as he can?" Han was starting to think Leia's feeling might be right. "He called us." "Yes, sir, I'm aware of that." The door guard studied Han with the weary smirk that Corellians reserved for grandstanders and blowhards. "Admiral Antilles is a very busy man." "Yeah?" Han was growing embarrassed by his earlier confidence, and nothing made him testier than embarrassing himself in front of Leia. "Well, so am I." Before Han could turn to leave, Leia caught him by the arm.
"Tell Admiral Antilles to take his time," she said to the guard. "We understand how busy he must be right now."
Han did not resist as she pulled him to one side of the door. Wedge Antilles had been appointed Supreme Commander of the Corellian Forces some 10 standard days earlier, the day after Thraken Sal Solo's assassination, and Han knew as well as anyone how hectic his schedule had to be right now. That was why the Solos had been so surprised to receive a message asking them to rendezvous with Antilles in the Kyrus asteroid cluster. The Kyruses were so far out on the fringes of the system that they were almost free-floating, and so obscure that even Han had been forced to ask for coordinates. The Solos had spent the better part of the trip, made even longer by the necessity of evading the Galactic Alliance blockade, debating what the blazes Corellia's new Supreme Commander was doing so far from the war. All their questions had been answered when they rounded Kira's Six and saw the Sal Solo floating in her hidden dock. The dreadnought was a typical Corellian design, innovative, austere, and configured for vicious, close-in combat, with turbolaser turrets and missile tubes arrayed heavily and uniformly over a blue, egg-shaped hull. Han had known the moment he saw her that the ship was exactly what Corellia needed, a vessel capable of plunging into the core of the Alliance blockade and tearing it apart from the inside. But Han's pulse had not quickened until a couple of hours later, when Antilles had informed them that the Sal Solo had two sister ships and an entire support fleet hidden in the Kira's Cluster's other shipyards. Given the obvious element of surprise, Antilles felt sure the fleet would be powerful enough to smash the blockade and convince the Alliance to reconsider its war plans. What he had wanted to know from Han was whether he and Leia considered an early end to the war a strong enough possibility to serve in the Corellian military. Han and Leia had spent the night agonizing over Antilles' question, worrying about whether Han would eventually find himself in battle against his own children. Jaina was now serving with the Jedi instead of the military, and Jason was supposedly back on Coruscant torturing Corellians. But war had a way of bringing about the unforeseen. If Han ended up killing one of his own children, he would shatter into more pieces than there were stars in the galaxy. The question posed a dilemma for Leia as well. 4 years ago, when her master, Saba Sebatine, had proclaimed her a Jedi Knight, she had sworn to obey the Jedi Council even when she disagreed with it, and the Council was supporting the Galactic Alliance. So far, Saba and the other masters had been tolerating her insubordination out of respect for who she was, but that would certainly change if Han openly took arms against the Alliance. The Council would have no choice except to demand that she choose between Han and the Jedi. Still, the only other alternative was to stand by and watch the war blossom without them, and the Solos had never been the type to do nothing. In the end, they had decided the best course of action was to put Coruscant in a more reasonable frame of mind by helping Antilles prove that a war would be as costly for the Galactic Alliance as it was for Corellia. After the blockade was smashed, the new administration would be in a position to negotiate from strength, and Leia would secure the peace by volunteering to act as an envoy. That was why Han had been so disappointed to be denied admittance to the planning salon. He and Leia had made up their minds to risk everything to help Antilles end this war quickly. Now it looked as though their help was no longer wanted. The wait was shorter than Han had expected. He had barely started to consider a trip to the calf dispenser when Wedge Antilles arrived in his white admiral's uniform. His tapered face was creased with wrinkles and worry lines, and his neatly trimmed hair was now more gray than brown.
"Han, Leia, I'm sorry for the delay," Antilles said, as the door slid shut behind him. Han glimpsed the back of a civilian head nodding vigorously as someone else spoke in sharp tones. "Have you decided?"
"Yeah." Han began to feel a little more optimistic. Perhaps Antilles was just having a difficult meeting with a couple of civilian bigwigs. "I was kind of thinking of signing on."
"Glad to hear it."
Antilles smiled and stuck out his hand. But there was more apprehension in his face than warmth.
"We have an important job for you."
Han clasped the offered hand, but Leia continued to study Antilles with an expression of reserve.
"We're looking forward to hearing about it," she said, "so we can make a final decision."
Antilles did his best to look disappointed, but made the mistake of quietly letting his breath out through his nose. It was an old Sabacc tell, and one that Han knew always meant relief. Whatever was going on here, it was beginning to smell like a hut's belly.
That's right, Han said. Why don't you tell us what you have in mind?
Fair enough.
Antilles drew them away from the door guard and lowered his voice.
We need you to negotiate a coalition.
Negotiate? Han scowled. I thought you wanted me in the military.
Maybe later.
Antilles did not sound too serious.
Right now, this is more important.
I must say, trusting Captain Solo to negotiate anything other than an asteroid belt seems foolish,
C-3PO said.
His temperament is poorly suited to diplomacy.
Han is a man of hidden talents.
Antilles kept his gaze fixed on Han.
There's no one else I would trust with this mission.
Han pondered the compliment only a moment before deciding his friend was feeding him a load of bantha poodoo.
This is about Jason, isn't it?
Antilles frowned.
Jason?
He shook his head.
Han, we both have kids fighting on the other side of this thing.
Sial isn't torturing Corellians on Coruscant, Han countered.
As angry and ashamed as he was about what Jason had become, he wasn't going to hide from it.
Look, I don't like what Jason is doing any more than you do, but he's still my kid, and I'm not going to disown him. I'll understand if you've got a problem with that.
Han, I don't, Antilles replied. Jason has lost his way, but it's only because he believes in what he's fighting for. Sooner or later, he's going to remember that you and Leia taught him right from wrong, and he's going to find his way back.
Leia reached out and squeezed Antilles' hand.
Thank you, Wedge, she said. I know that's true, but it feels good to hear someone else say it.
Yeah, it makes you think maybe you're not crazy after all.
Han turned away so he could blink a tear out of his eye, then looked back to Antilles.
So what do you really want me for?
I told you, Antilles said, to negotiate a coalition.
As he spoke, the Admiral's eyes shifted toward Leia, and Han realized the truth was he wanted Leia to negotiate the coalition. Han shook his head.
For once, 3PO is right. You don't want to ask me to negotiate any kind of coalition. I might start a war or something.
Antilles gave a theatrical sigh.
Come on, Han.
He briefly shifted his gaze to Leia again.
You understand what I'm asking. Then ask, Han said. You know how I hate games.
Very well.
Antilles turned to Leia, and his eyes began to blink more rapidly. Another old sabacc tell that usually meant your opponent was trying to pull a fast one.
You understand this can't be an official request.
Why not?
Han interrupted.
Because I'm not Corellian, Leia said, and I'm a Jedi Knight. It would look suspicious for me to conduct negotiations.
So you want me to be the front man?
Han continued to look at Antilles. Antilles nodded.
Exactly.
Not interested,
Han said, not even pretending to consider the request. He could not ask Leia to negotiate on behalf of a cause that even he knew she supported only partially, especially when Antilles himself so clearly had reservations about what he was asking. Besides, Han had a sneaking suspicion that his old friend was deliberately trying to discourage the Solos from accepting the assignment.
Call me when you need someone to do some fighting.
He turned to leave, but Leia caught him by the arm.
Han, shouldn't we hear Admiral Antilles out?
What for?
For Corellia.
Leia fixed him with a stern-eyed gaze that worked better on him than any Jedi Force suggestion.
You're always talking about the importance of preserving Corellia's independent spirit. Is sitting at a negotiating table really so much to ask?
Han's jaw dropped. Leia had renounced her role as a senior diplomat during the war with the Yuuzhan Vong, when it had grown apparent that the political process was only undermining the New Republic's ability to win the war. That she would volunteer to resume the role now, on Corellia's behalf, seemed very suspicious. He scowled.
You want to do this?
I'm willing to consider it.
Leia turned back to Antilles.
But we're not making a decision before we hear the details. All the details.
No one expects that.
Antilles smiled, but the note of disappointment in his voice was unmistakable, at least to someone who had known him for 40 years.
My orders were simply to find out if you'd be willing to consider it. Prime Minister Gedjan will brief you on the rest.
Han's brow rose. Dur Gedjan had risen to power by helping Han and Boba Fett assassinate Han's megalomaniac cousin, Thrakken Sal Solo. Afterward, Gedjan had abolished the office of President of Five Worlds, which Sal Solo had created for the sole purpose of exerting his personal dominion over the entire Corellian system. Had Gedjan stopped there, Han would have admired his integrity and wisdom. But Gedjan had proved to be just as bad as Sal Solo, establishing his own hold by arranging to have himself named both Chief of State of the planet Corellia and Five Worlds Prime Minister.
Gedjan is here? Han asked. You have got to be kidding. I'm afraid not.
Antilles led the way into the planning salon, a spacious cabin lined with the latest battle coordination technology, half-wall display screens, a ceiling-mounted tactical holoprojector, automatic calf dispensers in each corner. Dur Gedjan and two others sat talking at a large oval conference table with a combination datacom station at every seat. As soon as Han and Leia entered the room, Gedjan ended the conversation and extended his hand.
Captain Solo, welcome.
He was young and good-looking, with dark skin and black hair worn in a short military-style cut.
I'm so pleased you agreed to accept this assignment.
Yeah, well, don't be too pleased, Han said. I haven't accepted anything yet.
He gave Gedjan's hand a single pump, then looked past him to the others. They were older, the first a sandy-haired man with a blocky jaw and graying mustache, the second a middle-aged woman with a round face and cold gray eyes. Han wasn't familiar enough with the new government to recognize them by sight, but he was guessing by Antilles's displeasure and the number of security agents waiting outside that they were Gavel Lamora and Rorf Willems. Along with Gedjan, Lamora and Willems were the heart of the Five Worlds government, with Lamora serving as Minister of Intelligence and Willems as the Minister of Defense. Gedjan frowned in Antilles's direction.
I thought you weren't to bring them in here unless...
Admiral Antilles's request was necessarily rather vague,
Leia interrupted.
Han will need to know a few more details before he can agree to serve as your emissary.
Ah, of course. Gedjan glanced over his shoulder at the cold-eyed woman, Lamora, and looked relieved.
We'll be happy to give him a basic briefing. After the droid leaves,
Lamora added, staring at C-3PO.
I can't leave,
C-3PO objected.
I won't be able to record the briefing.
That's the point, Chiphead,
Willem said. He had a gravelly voice and a thuggish demeanor.
We don't want it recorded.
Are you certain?
C-3PO inquired.
Captain Solo's memory circuits have been showing signs of fatigue lately. Just the other day, he told Princess Leia that with her new short haircut, she didn't look a day over 35.
I meant it, Han growled. And stop eavesdropping.
He doesn't have a choice, Han. It's in his programming, Leia said.
She turned to C-3PO. But I'm sure Han can still keep a few basic facts straight. You can wait outside.
C-3PO's chin dropped.
Very well. I'll be available if you need me.
After C-3PO left, Gedgen motioned Han and Leia to chairs. Antilles took a seat at the end of the table, a choice that suggested he really did not like being a part of this conversation.
I assume you recognize Ministers Lamora and Willems?
Han nodded.
Yeah, I was just wondering what could bring the entire High Cabinet all the way out here.
We're on an inspection tour. Lamora did not even bother trying to sound plausible. What matters to you is that a unique opportunity has presented itself.
Before Han could threaten to leave because he didn't like being lied to, Gedgen dropped the bombshell.
Queen Mother Tenel Ka has agreed to meet a Corellian delegation.
Yeah, sure.
You can't be serious.
Han and Leia spoke at the same time. For the only thing that might have surprised them more, or caused more doubt, was to hear Gedgen claiming that their son Anakin had not really died fighting the Yuuzhan Vong. Tenel Ka was a vocal and very loyal supporter of the Galactic Alliance, and any suggestion that she might be willing to discuss changing sides was crazy.
"I assure you we are serious," Gedgen said. "The High Cabinet did not come out here to play a practical joke on you."
"Then someone fed you a bad set of coordinates," Han replied. "There's no way Tenel Ka is going to support Corellia. She's already assigned 2 battle fleets to Alliance Command."
Gedgen was not deterred.
"And if that were to change, the Galactic Alliance would be forced to reconsider its position regarding Corellia."
"The invitation is real," Lamora assured them. "The Queen Mother has half a day available on the 20th. Can you reach Hapes by then?"
"Sure."
Han glanced toward the end of the table and found Antilles gazing into the corner, apparently contemplating the wonders of automatic calf dispensers.
"If there's any sense in going."
"I think what Han means to say is the offer sounds suspicious."
Leia looked to Han as though for confirmation, but she was really signaling him to play along.
"We both know Tenel Ka well enough to be certain that she'll never change sides."
"You see, that's why you're perfect for this job,"
Willems said.
"If anyone has a chance of talking some sense into her, it's you two."
Han did not like the menacing note he heard in Willems's gravelly voice.
"You'd better not be sending us there to threaten her," he said, "because that would steam me about as much as it would Tenel Ka."
Gedgen waved a calming hand.
"Nobody's making threats, Captain Solo, but we do have some intelligence that suggests her support of the Alliance is straining her relationship with her nobles."
"We assume that's why she's willing to talk," Lamora added. "Perhaps she's merely putting on a show to placate them, or trying to buy some time, but we can't afford to ignore the opening."
"No, of course not," Leia said. "But Admiral Antilles said you were asking Han to negotiate a coalition. You do understand there's no chance of that happening, don't you?"
"If there is any hope, you're it," Gedgen replied.
"But we don't need a coalition. And neither does Queen Mother Tenel Ka."
"If Hapes were to make an open statement of neutrality and withdraw her fleet from Alliance Command," Lamora said, "Corellia's position would be strengthened both militarily and politically. Other governments might be emboldened enough to support us openly."
"And Tenel Ka's nobles would no longer have grounds to challenge her decision, or her throne,"
Leia surmised.
"Is the threat to her that severe?"
"We hear there are rumblings."
Gedgen leaned forward and deliberately locked gazes with Leia.
It might not be an exaggeration to say that persuading the Queen Mother to assume a favorable stance toward Corellia would be as much a service to her as to us. I see. Leia studied Gedgen for a moment, then turned to Han. The Prime Minister does have a point, dear. We might do Tenel Ka and Corellia a lot of good.
Yeah, maybe.
Han looked back to Antilles, who was continuing to study the calf dispenser as though it could help him divine the secret plans of the Galactic Alliance.
But something about this smells like hut breath.
Fine. You don't like it? We'll find someone else.
Willems pointed toward the exit.
Thanks for...
Minister Willems, Gedgen interrupted, why don't we hear Captain Solo's concerns first? He turned to Han with a lifted brow.
All this would sound fine if we were talking about it back on Corellia, Han said. What I don't get is why Wedge had me come all the way out here, just so you three could come all the way out here to ask us to take the assignment.
To Han's surprise, Gedgen turned to Antilles. Perhaps you should explain, Admiral.
All right.
Antilles finally looked away from the calf dispenser.
You were already on the way here when the Prime Minister received Tenel Ka's message. I had originally intended to ask you to take command of the home fleet and prepare to counterattack the blockade.
Counterattack? Han frowned. The Corellian home fleet was spread across the system's 5 habitable planets, either pinned in their berthings or playing Moog and Rancor with Alliance vessels carrying double their firepower.
Are you space sick? We'd lose half the fleet just trying to rendezvous.
Antilles shook his head.
Not likely. We're almost ready to launch the real attack from here.
Han frowned, thinking.
Then demanded, I was never going to see action?
He didn't know whether to be angry or hurt.
I was going to be a decoy? Sorry, Han, Antilles said. I had to do something.
We've been getting intelligence intercepts indicating that Alliance High Command is worried about where Admiral Antilles is, Lamora explained. I suggested we needed a diversion.
Leia rested a hand on Han's arm.
Think of it as a compliment, Han, she said. There's no one else the Alliance would believe crazy enough to try something so risky.
Thanks a lot.
As Han said this, he was looking at Antilles.
It's always good to feel needed.
As you obviously are, Gedgen said quickly. Admiral Antilles is not happy about losing you to a diplomatic mission.
And that's the reason 3 of you chased me all the way out here? Han asked. To bully Wedge into letting me go?
Not entirely, Lamora admitted. The Queen Mother didn't give us long to select an envoy. If you won't go...
I will,
Willems finished.
It hasn't come to that yet, Gedgen said. The look that passed between him and Lamora suggested they both hoped it wouldn't.
But with strict calm silence being maintained here, we'd have to wait for a messenger to return to Corellia with your decision. It just seemed safer to come out here and talk in person.
And we really did want to inspect the Kyriss fleet before we gave the go-ahead to launch the surprise attack, Lamora added. Corellia's future is riding on it.
That's understandable, Leia said. She turned to Han and shot him her best do-it-for-me pout.
Satisfied?
Sure.
Han frowned and curled his lip at her. He hated it when Leia used her female powers on him.
Count me in.
Leia only smiled and patted his hand.
Me too.
Excellent.
Gedgen looked relieved. He rose and stretched his arm across the table. The 5 worlds are grateful. As he and Han shook hands, Lamora removed a data card from her pocket and passed it to Leia.
I took the liberty of preparing a vid briefing. You can look it over when you return to the Falcon.
Our instructions are on it? Leia asked.
Of course, Gedgen said.
He extended a hand toward the exit. You'll need to get underway quickly if you're going to reach Hapes in time.
I'll show you out.
Antilles stood and led the Solos into the outer cabin. As soon as the door closed behind him, he clasped Han's shoulder.
Sorry, old buddy. I was looking forward to ordering you around.
Why? Han retorted.
You don't think I'd have obeyed, do you?
Antilles laughed.
I suppose not.
He turned to Leia and said,
Thanks for helping. If we have any hope of getting the Alliance to back off before this war gets ugly, you're it.
I'm glad to help. You know that.
Leia studied Antilles for a moment. Then her voice grew sober.
Wedge, what aren't they telling us?
Antilles looked back toward the door and shook his head.
I don't know, Princess. And I don't like it any more than you do. Well, whatever it is, it's got to be better for us to talk to Tenel Ka than Willems, Han said. That guy could drive me into the Alliance's arms.
I think that's what Gedgen was counting on, Leia said. He knew you'd have to say yes if you saw the alternative in person.
It worked. Han turned to Antilles. That, and finding out my alternative, was being your decoy. Glad I could help you make up your mind, then.
Antilles smiled wearily, then shook hands with Han and kissed Leia on the cheek.
I should be getting back, or they're going to think I'm trying to talk you out of this. May the Force be with you.
Thanks, Wedge,
Leia said, turning toward the door.
We'll need it.